You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Can we do better? In my studies and in my brief research, I discovered, naturally speaking, that the average adolescent or young person's brain or mind is not fully developed until their mid or late 20s. Young people, you can have the body of an adult. You can have certain parts of your body that are developed like an adult woman or an adult man. But it's not until your mid-20s, naturally speaking, that our brain or our mind is fully developed. Isn't that amazing? So you can be a teenager or in your mid-20s and your brain or your mind is still growing or developing. And see, once you learn this, you should see the importance to make sure that while you are young, that you discipline yourself, train yourself to have the mind of Christ. Even while you are young and your body is still developing. It's so important. When we look in scripture, we see people that were young in body, young in age, but their mindset was conscious of God even at a young age. And so it's important that we grab a hold to what God wants from us. Yes, you're young, but you can be mature in your mindset. You can have the mind of Christ. But in order for us to mature mentally, to be strong mentally, young people, not to be emotionally fragile, not to allow things to just cause our mind to break down. We have to be focused. We have to be aware and cautious of the things that we focus on, because remember, our mind or our brain is still developing. It's still developing. And so it's important for us to make sure that we focus on the right things. What in the world will happen to a young mind that focuses on the wrong things? It's not fully developed. But you're allowing your mind to be influenced by sin, evil, and other bad sources. That's not a good look, is it? So I got to make sure that I am to the point that I understand. I need to be focused on the right things according to God's word. So when it comes to being focused, I just want to share two primary definitions this morning. There are a number, but two. When a young person, young adult, or an adult is focused, number one, it says that I refuse to allow something or someone to poison my mind or to control my thoughts and my beliefs. When I am focused, I'm not going to let someone pollute my thoughts, poison my thoughts, or control my thoughts and beliefs. I'm focused. I am focused. You cannot deter me from getting off the path that God wants me to be on. Why? I am, help me, focused. And things can poison your mind. People can control your beliefs and your thoughts. But when you're focused, you don't allow that to happen. It doesn't matter how close you are to somebody. It doesn't matter if, as the old saying goes, blood is thicker than water. You're not going to let family or whoever control your mind. You're focused. And you sure not going to let anybody poison you. But what I really want to deal with when it comes to being focused, it says that our mind is attentive or interested on two things, that which is right and that which is truth. That's what I'm interested in. That's what I am attentive to. I'm making sure my mind is focused on what's right and what is truth. Y'all ought to help me say that. Say, I must be focused on what is right and what is truth. Those two things. Number of things we need to be focused on, but for this morning, I need to be focused on what's right and what is truth. So let's look at what's right and what's truth according to the Bible. Let's go to Psalm. Y'all still with me? All right. So we got two definitions of focus, right? So the first one is when I don't allow somebody to poison my mind or to control my what? My thoughts or belief. You got a right to believe what you want to believe. Just because you believe one thing, that don't mean I need to believe it. And I don't need to let anyone poison my mind. Secondly, when I'm focused, what am I interested in? Two things, was and was good. Psalm 33. Y'all quiet, but I got a good audience. I got a good audience this morning. I can tell. Y'all gonna stay that way? All right, Psalm 33, and notice verse number 4. And notice what the psalmist says about that which is right. For the word of the Lord is right. Y'all didn't say it. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his work is done in truth. So if I'm going to focus on what's right, what am I focusing on according to this verse? I just gave y'all a compliment about being a good audience. If I'm focusing on what's right, look at the first sentence. What am I focusing on? The word of the Lord. That's it. I'm focusing on the word of the Lord. I'm focusing on the message because that's what's right. I'm focusing on the scripture, what's written. And I'm focusing on what God has given his prophet, the revealed word, is right. When something is right, or especially the word of the Lord is right, it's good. God's word is good for us. I said God's word is good for us. It's beneficial. God's word will cause you to have life and have it more abundantly. God's word will heal your body. For the scripture says that he sent his word and healed them. God's word will change your life. Why? Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God's word is good. Tell somebody, say, God's word is right. That's right. It's good to me. It's beneficial. Can you look in your life and see that the word has been good to you? Are you thinking, talking, and acting better since you receive the word. If you have, shout, the word is right. But also, when it comes to being right, young people, it says that the word is just. It's righteous. In other words, it's what we should live by. The word is right. It's what just folk live by. And we got to understand, when we come to church, God will give us a word for us to live by. You know what Jesus told Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone. Come on and finish it. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yeah, so I'm going to live. God going to make sure I live by something that's right, that's good, and that's especially for just folk. All right, let's go to John. Let's go to John. So we see, we focused on what's right, what's good, and what's just. John 17, 17. Now, some of you have heard this verse, you just didn't know where it was. Check it out. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Come on, Jesus. Your word is what? Truth. So bottom line, when it comes to that which is right and truth, what am I focusing on? The word. There you go. There you go. When I'm focused or interested in what's right and true, bottom line, young people, I'm focusing on the word. On the word. And we know the word, according to this verse, is truth or Jesus. And it sanctifies us. It cleans us up. And so what does that say on a daily basis, young people? If you are focused, you are to the point to where you don't believe everything you see or hear. You're lining it up with the word. You're focused on what's right and what's truth. The word. When you meet someone, you're so focused, you're to the point, is this person right and true? Before you make a choice, is what I'm doing, help me, right and true? Before I say amen to the preacher, is what the preacher's saying, help me, right and true? There you go. You're focused. See, where we used to mess up is that the only time we would be focused a lot of time is when we got in church. But nowadays, you need to be focused in the church and outside the church, because there are so many things that can corrupt our minds. So many things that can get us off the right path. Notice, if our minds are not focused on what is right and true, our minds will become corrupt and carnal. We don't want to be corrupt or carnal. Look at somebody say, we don't want to be corrupt or carnal. The things of the world, young people, can corrupt your mind. That's why the Apostle John said, love not the things of the world. You got to be careful. These things can poison your mind against the cross, against the word. And so we have to guard our mind or guard our heart, young people. Because you don't want to be defiled. You don't want to become corrupt. You don't want to become a lukewarm Christian. You don't want to be saved based upon the world's standards. You know, the world's standards is basically, if you believe in God, you good. No, but when I'm focused, I know what it means to be saved according to the word, and I think, talk, and live accordingly. I don't want to be corrupt. What can corrupt or pollute my mind? Break it down, Pastor. Music. You got to be careful about the music. Again, the things of the world. Getting high, dope. The things of the world. You know, back in the day, you could smoke. People would smoke a little weed, get a little high, and go on and laugh. Now, they lacing weed with fentanyl. Do you know what fentanyl is? Man, you can just touch it and it'll kill you. That's how potent this stuff is. You got to be careful that you don't allow anything to corrupt your mind. And when I was coming up, when I was y'all age, one of the biggest things that was messing my mind up was young gals. I mean, I was messing myself up, but I was letting young gals and music mess me up. Those were my two vices. Those were my two weights that I needed to lay aside. But I didn't lay them aside for a long time until God took the blinders off my mind. And I saw that what I was doing wasn't right. But music is a number of young people's thing that gets their mind messed up. Am I talking to anybody in here? You got to be careful. You got to listen when you hear things beyond just a good beat. You got to be a word person. What are they talking about? What are they saying? Because if I allow that word, which is a seed, to get in my mind or my heart, it can corrupt me. Jesus gave a parable about a farmer, young people, who went out and planted good seeds. And then while the farmer went to sleep after planting the good seed, it says that a wicked one came and started planting bad seed, evil seed. And it got into the earth and it started to grow. The wheat and the tare came up. And see, we have to be careful about what we allow to get in our mind or our heart, young people, or it can mess us up. Look at somebody say it can mess you up. I gotta show you something. Y'all got a few seconds? Yeah. All right. I gotta show you how you have to be careful, even when it comes to the music. Don't let it get in your mind, young people. Amen. You can sit there and try to act, but I know the music of the world is all around you. And you have to guard your heart or your mind so you don't allow evil seeds to get in you. There's this song called Big Stunner by Quavo and Takeoff. Look at these words that they're saying. Bending all corners. I ain't never been a runner. 50 rounds on a drummer made him add another comma. I ain't going for a finesse. If they try me, I'm a bustle. In that demon, I'm possessed. But watch me snatch that mother F. In that demon, I'm possessed. Now, it's a play on words. He's talking about, in one sense, the Dodge Charger. It's a car called the demon. But then he plays on words and says, yeah, I'm in a demon. But what do demons do? They possess. Imagine a young mind that's just bopping to the music. And they're talking about, in that demon, I'm possessed. What? In that demon, I'm possessed. Why are so many artists nowadays rapping about demons and possession? Lil Wayne made a song, he said he was a demon. Future got a song, said he was posted with the demons. Now you got Quavo and Takeoff talking about being possessed when they driving a car in a demon. You gotta be careful, young folk. This ain't no game. Remember I told you about the seeds that are planted in your heart? Don't you know young people can be demon possessed? We got to be like the Hebrew boys. When we hear the music of the world, we don't bow down. We don't let it become an idol god to us that we begin to worship. Oh, look how y'all looking at me now. Now, I expect these young men to rap like that because they're not saved. Well, Pastor, you judging. You're right. I'm judging a righteous judgment. I'm looking at the fruit from a tree. But even when it comes to so-called gospel music, you got to be careful. Look at somebody say, you got to guard your mind. Yeah, we don't need to let music corrupt us, young folk. The things of the world. So one of our youth leaders sent me this particular song by this young woman that sings in a group called Maverick City Music. And she got this breakout song, this new single. Her name is Naomi, I think you say Naomi Rain. And she's got a song called I'm Not Ready. What's the name of the song? Man, this is just as demonic as Quavo and Takeoff. And this is a so-called gospel song. I'm not ready. Listen to what she say. I know I need to pray, but I don't know how to say I'm not ready. I'm not ready to change. I want to trust you. If I tell the truth, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to change. How will this affect young people that want to change, that want to live for God, and they get to singing a song? Yeah, I know I should pray, but I ain't ready. Let me just keep on doing my sin. I know I should trust you. I know I should trust your word, Lord, but I'm not ready. Man, that song came on my TV this morning. I put it on mute till the next song came. I ain't getting that. In my spirit. I wanted to play it for y'all, but I wasn't late. I said, no, I can't play this song. No, I can't even play this song because I don't want you to get a seed in your mind that whenever you are dealing with something and you need to cast that care on God, you don't need to be saying, I ain't ready. Let me just keep doing what I'm gonna do. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. So whether it's so-called gospel music or it's the music of the world, we got to guard our mind. We don't need to let the things of this world poison us or pollute us. Y'all didn't shout I'm right, but I know I'm right. Even if I got to stand by myself, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. How many know music can mess your mind up? By a show of hands. Just be honest. We ain't gonna even talk about the videos or the visuals. I couldn't even show y'all the video to that Quavo and Takeoff song. They talking about big stun. I mean, just girls just shaking. Big stun. Golly, we ain't even got past the words. Just look at what they putting before you. And now all of a sudden, that's on your mind. That's not who you are as a young woman. I said, that's not who you are as a young woman. And especially a young black woman. No, get that out your mind. And that's not what should be our expectation as young men for young women. Yeah, God made woman for man. Is that Bible? Yeah, but we don't need to exploit them. I said, God made woman for the man, but we don't need to exploit them. Woo! Y'all didn't say nothing, but I know I'm right. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. But what I'm trying to teach us, young people, is that things or the things of the world, they can affect our mind. Did I paint a picture? Specifically, music, the words in music. But here in our verse, we see that it wasn't the things that were in the world that were trying to control the mind of Jesus. It was people. Remember, the text said that Jesus was in a deserted place, right? And he was ready to go, but the people wanted to keep him there. But Jesus said, I got to go because I came to preach to other cities. This is my purpose. In our text, that's what we saw. Jesus having a mind that was focused on God's purpose. And that's what we need to learn from the message today. We don't need to allow people to get us to stop focusing on God's purpose in our life. And there are many trendsetters in times past. You have allowed people to cause you to lose focus. But say, I gotta focus on God's purpose. Say that with me. Say, I must focus on God's purpose. When we talk about purpose in the verse, it has to do with God's intended will for your life. God's intended will for your life. Paul talked about how we will start knowing the will of God. We would experience the will of God once we start allowing the word to transform us and renew our mind. Then God would just unfold his will in our life, his purpose in our life. Now, God has purpose for every one of us in this room and everyone listening to the teaching. If you are feeling like, well, I don't know my purpose, understand, God will give you his purpose for your life either directly or indirectly. God will give us a primary purpose for our life, but then he will also give us what I call minor purposes. It's not the main thing, but God has equipped you to do certain things in this life. It just may not be the primary thing. So, for instance, I can write, and I'm talking about me personally. I can write, I can compose music, I can do a number of things when it comes to administration, but the primary purpose for my life is to pastor. I don't need to let writing, I don't need to let other things interfere with my primary purpose. Are y'all with me? God has purpose for your life, and he's going to reveal it, or he will reveal it two ways, either directly or indirectly. Y'all still with me? In the Old Testament, Joseph was a young man. God told him his purpose directly. He said, look, I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to be so blessed that you're going to be able to help your family. God dealt with him in a dream, showed him his purpose, and then he went and shared it with his family, and they had a problem with it. But it was still his divine purpose. God gave it to him directly. Right? But then we see God giving David his purpose indirectly. David was a good fighter. David was a writer. We're talking about David in scripture, right? David could play an instrument, right? But God sent the prophet Samuel to his house and anointed him to be king. God used a preacher, a prophet, to reveal his purpose, directly or indirect. And because God does not change, God will deal with you about your purpose in life. But then God will use your prophet to speak a word, and it'll get a hope to you. And you'll be like, man, This is the purpose for my life. My thing is, however he gives it to me, I just want his purpose for my life. Whether he give it to me directly or indirectly, I want it. But then as you grow, he'll use your pastor to say, look, if you're going to get married, you need to be a husband like this. You need to be a wife like this. That's God giving you purpose. Look, when you get money, you'll get taught in God's house how you should be a good steward. That's God giving you purpose. How many have been receiving purpose? Yeah, you need to be receiving purpose for your life every time you come to God's church. You don't need to be like so many young people out here that are living with no purpose. And then once you get your purpose, that's what you focus on. That's what you focus on. You focus on God's purpose for your life, and you don't let people get you off course. You don't be intimidated by what somebody else is doing in their life. You focus on what God is doing in your life. Your cousin may not like it. Your classmates may not like it. But you focus on God's purpose for your life. I know God wants me to be productive in everything. I'm not going to let nobody stop me from fulfilling purpose. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I mess up sometime? Yes. But I'm still focused on my purpose. Are you focused on your purpose? Or are you focused on pleasing your peers? Are you focused on making sure everybody likes you? Focused on being accepted? No, you need to be focused or have a mind like Christ and be focused on his purpose for your life. Good God Almighty. Look at my notes. Even though Jesus had a mind focused on his purpose, he faced opposition from a crowd of people. Listen to me. This is Pastor Baker's little advice right here. How you manage people in your life can affect your purpose. You have to learn, young people, just like Jesus, how to manage people. You got to learn how to cut folk off. You got to learn how to hang around folk and not be jealous of folk that are better than you. You got to learn how to receive correction from various types of people, and some of them you may not like. You got to learn how to manage the people in your life. You got to be able to manage folk so wisely that they don't affect you from fulfilling your purpose. You don't let no celebrity control your mind. You don't even know them, and they don't know you. Change the channel. Get them off your phone. What do you call that? Managing people. Folk you go to school with, work with, and so forth that don't like you anyway, you don't get down on their level. You just manage them. Well, I know they don't like me anyway, but I'm going to show love and keep it moving. I'm not going to entertain no foolishness. I'm not going to let people control me. I'm going to let God control me. And I'm going to let those that he gave authority in my life have influence. But how many young people can be honest and say, people have manipulated or controlled you before, and not in a good way? You can't let no cute boy or no fine girl manipulate you. You got to be like, yeah, she fine, but she ain't running me. That's my spouse. I love him. I love her. But we're going to have a Christian marriage. Woo! Managing people, young people, is something you got to learn. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide you so people don't influence you in a way that will get you off course. Amen. And so what I want to do in my close, I got about 12 minutes left. I want to show you ways that people can affect your purpose. And then I'm going to be done. Oh, I hope y'all get this. Ways that people can affect your purpose. Is your purpose important to you? Is God's purpose on your life? Is that valuable to you? Some of you didn't answer. Let's try that again. Is God's purpose for your life valuable to you? So when you're dealing with people, it's going to be primarily three types. Three types. There's many types, but you can pretty much put them in three categories. It don't matter if it's somebody you go to church with, your sibling, your pastor, your spouse. It don't matter who it is. They pretty much going to fall in these three categories. And you need to be able to identify what type of person they are and what role do they play when it comes to your purpose. Number one, let's look at Luke 4 and 42. And the crowd, it says, sought him and came to him. Notice the wording. And what did they do? And tried to keep him from leaving them. What did the people do? They tried to keep him there. So what is this letting us know? There are some people that will try to hinder your purpose. There are some people that will attempt to hinder your purpose. Try to stop you from growing. Try to stop you from prospering. Or try to hinder you from moving forward in life. It's just some people that's like that. I love how the verse says, they tried. How many know people will try you? I said people will try you. Yeah. Your spouse will try you. A teacher will try you. You know the biggest person that you're going to meet every day? Yourself. Yourself can hinder you from fulfilling your purpose. I said your own self. Write this down. Nehemiah 6. This is number two. So you got to get in your mind. People will try to hinder me. I'm not going to let anybody hinder me, intimidate me, or try to keep me from fulfilling what God wants me to fulfill. When you get up to lead prayer, lead praise and worship, you're going to have some folk look at you like they ain't hearing you, but you don't let them hinder you. I may not get a clap, an amen, or a pat on the back, but I ain't going to let that hinder me. I'm going to feed God's people with knowledge and understanding. Nehemiah 6, let's look at number two. It says that Sanballat, Nehemiah 6 and 2, and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of, oh no. But they thought to do me harm. When it comes to your purpose, there are some folk that will try to harm your purpose. Nehemiah had the purpose of helping the people of God build a wall. Sanballat, Geshem, and others, they wanted to stop that purpose from coming to pass. Look at the text. They wanted to meet with Nehemiah. But Nehemiah said, no, I know y'all. Y'all want to harm me. Y'all don't want me to reach my goals. You got to be able to identify people that mean you no good. Because all it takes is one. All it takes is one person to mess up your purpose in life. Whether it's you or somebody else. But Nehemiah was so clever. He didn't try to be friends with folk that wanted to mess him up. You don't try to be close or be friends with folk that'll mess you And you have to ask yourself, is me hanging with these folk going to mess up my purpose? Is me dating this individual going to mess up my purpose? You have to be able to recognize folk that harm you or want to harm you. And who helps us? The Holy Spirit. Because he'll guide us into what? All truth. You have to be to the point to where you just have to say, Holy Spirit, you got to guide me. Because I like these qualities about this person. But Holy Spirit, you know everything about this person. I don't know if they really want to harm me or not. I can't tell it right now. I need your help. I need your help. And you said, if I acknowledge you, Lord, you direct me in all my paths. And that's what Nehemiah did. He didn't meet with them. They set up the meeting, but he didn't come. Because he knew they wanted to mess him up. Tell somebody, all it takes is one person. I got to show y'all this. I got to show y'all this. You can't gamble with your purpose or with your life. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:18 here on the wall. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. All it takes is one sinner. That's it. One person. One person. To introduce you into a lifestyle that'll mess your life up. One. All it takes is one time. Man, we just went to the club one time. One time. And you got folk that regret going certain places for the first time. It messed them up. Everybody ain't your friend. Look at somebody say, everybody ain't your friend. People need to earn the right to be your friend. A friend loves at all times. So people need to earn the right to be called your friend. Just say you know them. Yeah. But everybody is not your friend. There are some people that are assigned to harm you. That's their assignment, to harm your purpose. And if you are a young person that does not have the mind of Christ and you're not focused on your purpose, you can let one person mess you up. That's all it takes, one purpose. Are y'all listening to me? So there are people that can hinder my purpose, people that can harm my purpose. Let's go to Romans 16:2, and we're closing. Lord, Romans 16:2, Paul said that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of, help me, the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Why, Paul? For indeed, she has been a, help me, helper. Say it like you're excited. She has been a helper of many and of myself also. Then, young people, there are people that will help you with your purpose. There are people that will help you in life. People that will support you. People that will assist you. People that will be a blessing to you. You got to be able to identify them. You got to be able to look past the age gap and say, yeah, they old, but they helping me. Yeah, they strict, but what they're telling me is helping me. I don't like some of the things that they say or some of the ways that they have, but this person is helping me. Amen. You got to be able to identify that. Yeah. Whether it's a teacher, you got to look past the teacher and some of her ways. Is what she's saying and doing helping you? amongst your peers, you got to be able to discern, all right, it's time for me to just really look and see who with me. Are these folk helping me, harming me, or hindering me? Then you come into church. You got to even look at your brothers and sisters in the church. Is this person helping me, harming me, or hindering the purpose in my life? Can I flip it? You not only need to look for these type of folk, but you need to be able to identify what type of person you are. Are you the type of person that hurts other folk? Are you the type of person that hinders other folk? Are you the type of person that helps other folk? So you got to look at the people you surround yourself with, but then you got to look at yourself and say, well, hold up. What type of person am I? Do I help my pastor, harm my pastor, or hinder my pastor? What type of member am I? What type of father am I? Am I helping my sons, harming my sons, or hindering my sons? What type of student are you? Are you one that helps, harms, or hinders? I ain't getting too much help this morning. Is it right? Yeah. You gotta ask yourself. I not only need to look for these type folk, but what type of person am I? What type of person am I to my wife? Do I help her be a better woman? Hinder her from being a better woman? Or harm her? What type of child am I to my mama? What type of child am I to my mama? Is she trying to provide and make sure the house running right? Am I helping her? Hindering her or harming her? What am I doing? Now, they done gave me a car. What am I doing with this car? Where I go and how I act in this car, is this helping, harming, or hindering? And see, we got to be focused, young folk. We got to be focused. We got to be focused on our purpose. When it comes to how we interact with other people and how we allow people to interact with us. And in our text, we see that Jesus, he didn't let folk control him. He was focused on his purpose. And likewise, we need to be the same. If you agree, somebody shout out.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.